scripture reading this morning is Tito chapter 2. It's found on page 363, Titus chapter 2.
Temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience.
in Tagalog, verse 2, ang masatandan talalaki ay dapat maging mapapagtigil sa sarili, kagalang galang matino malakas sa pananampalataya sa pag-ibig at sa pagtitiis. As we consider this word of God together, beloved, we do have to keep in mind verse 1, the first verse of this chapter, where Paul, speaking to Titus, tells Titus what Titus must teach and preach to believers. What is it that Titus must preach and teach? It's this, the things that match or that harmonize with sound doctrine. The life of believers, the apostle tells Titus, is a life that must be in harmony with, agreeing with, and flowing out of what they believe and what they confess is the truth of the Word of God. Doctrine and life belong together. The main reason for that is, as we noted last time, that sound doctrine motivates the child of God to live a godly life. What is sound doctrine? Well, sound doctrine, as we saw last time, is really the setting forth of the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel that declares to us the good news concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior from sin and from death and from hell. And the child of God who believes that truth of the gospel and takes it into his own heart and believes it for himself or herself as a child of God knows then that the Lord Jesus Christ has done great things for us. And believing that the Lord Jesus Christ has done great things for himself personally, the child of God is compelled to be thankful. He says, I can do nothing else, really, but show thanks to my God for all that he has done for me in Jesus Christ. The way in which he does that is by obedience, obeying the commands of the God who has saved him. The child of God who is thankful is obedient. Even that's true in earthly life. If you children are thankful to your parents, then you are obedient to them. If you're thankful to them for all that they have done for you, for all that they have given, for their daily care, for providing you with what you need, you don't turn around and disobey your parents, but you are obedient to them. And so it is in our relationship to God. Thankful children of God are obedient children of God. Well, this chapter sets before us the kind of life that we all must live as thankful believers. Ang kapitulong ito ay nagbibigay ng mga praktikal na paalala patungkol sa buhay na bumabagay sa katotohanan na atin ipinahahayag. Every believer, you'll notice, is addressed here, old and young, male and female, adults and children, and each of us is given clear and precise commands or admonitions concerning the life that we must live that matches, that harmonizes with the truth that we confess. And that begins with those in the church who are men and who are aged men. This is what must be true of them. They must be according to the Word of God. Ang masantandang lalaki ay dapat maging mapapag apagpigilsa sarili kagalangalan matino malakasa pananantalataya sa pagibig at sa pagtitiis. So that's what we consider this morning, an admonition to older men. Let me say at the very beginning that this admonition is the first one because this is the most important one to all the members of the church. The command of the Word of God that comes to the men is first, because men, as we will look at later again as well, men are very important and necessary in the Church of Jesus Christ. Members who must lead, members who must guide, members who must set the example to all the other members of the church. So we consider together an admonition to all the men. We'll notice what is required, how it is shown, and why it is necessary. First of all, Unasalahat, what is required? Ano ang pinakailangan? Before we look at that, we have to answer the question, who exactly are the old men, the aged men? Ang matatandang lalaki. What age group is being admonished here? And we need to ask that question because the men here need to know, is this word of God being spoken to me? Am I one of these men that is being admonished by verse 2 of Titus chapter 2? We notice in this chapter that no specific ages are mentioned. Not for any of the groups, in fact. It does not say aged men who are such and such an age and up, young men who are such and such an age and lower. It does not say older women who are 50 and above, younger women who are 20 to 40. It does not mention any age group at all. And that points us to the fact that the Word of God does not allow us here to put an age limit on who are the older men in the Church of Christ. We may not say, well, there's a certain age, you live to that age, maybe that age is 40. So whatever you're 40 or younger, you're a young man. As soon as you're above 40 years old, you become an old man. And then the Word of God in Titus chapter 2 verse 2 applies only to those who are 40 and above. Anyone who's younger doesn't apply to them. We may not do that. The Word of God does not specify age in terms of years here. But all that the chapter does is uses two words, aged and young. Aged in verse 2, the aged men, and then in verse 6, young men. Aged and young. And that points us to two things. Anyone who is aged or older or matatanda is someone who is no longer a youth, no longer a young person. And we know in our own minds roughly what that means. We know that it's someone who has reached adulthood, someone who is an adult, someone who is a grown man. But aged also means this. It also refers to the fact, or to anyone, who is older in relation to other members of the church. Mas matanda. So even from a certain point of view, those who are still younger, in their 20s, maybe even the youth in their teenage years, must realize that they, in relation to anyone who is younger than they are, have the obligation to be what this text calls the men of the church to be. So it applies very clearly to most men who are here, most men in the Church of Christ. We cannot say too quickly, well, I'm still young, and therefore this does not apply to me. It applies to all the men of the Church, including young adults who are older in relation to the children of the Church of Christ. Then that brings us to what is required. What is really the meaning of this admonition? Notice the text mentions six things. The aged men, they have to be sober, they have to be grave, they have to be temperate, they have to be sound in faith, sound in charity, and sound in love, or charity. Sound in faith, sound in charity, and then thirdly, or sixthly, sound in patience. Six things that are required of the men of the church. And I suppose we could say, well, let's take the time to look at each of these in order. We'll start with the first one, then the second, then the third, then the fourth, then the fifth, and then the sixth. And we'll look at each of these individually, and we'll say at the end of the day, at the end of our consideration of this text, here are six things that should characterize the men of the church. Well, we could do that, but that is not the idea of the text. Then we would be looking at six unrelated things. That's not how we ought to understand the Word of God, because what this text does is sets before us six things, yes, but one of those is the main one. One of those is the outstanding requirement for the men of the church. And that is that the man in the church be sound in faith. And that lays the foundation for everything else that the man ought to be. If he is sound in the faith, the foundation is laid for him to be sound in charity or love, sound in patience, and to be a man who is sober, a man who is temperate, a man who is grave. So that's the main thing. He has to be sound in faith. Magin magaling sa pananampalataya. What does that mean? Well, the word sound is literally healthy. So we're saying here that the man in the Church of Christ has to be healthy, not sick, not feeble, not weak, but one who is in good health. Maging mausok, having energy, having strength, having life. You understand, of course, the text is not speaking of being physically healthy. Often the case that older men are not physically healthy, at least not compared to what they used to be. They find that they're not as strong anymore as they used to be. They don't have the vigor and abilities that characterize the youth of the church. They cannot do what they used to be able to do. That's often the case for the old men. The Word of God is not saying, well, in spite of that, you have to be physically healthy. No, the Word of God is pointing us to the fact here that the men in the Church of Jesus Christ have to be spiritually healthy, spiritually sound, spiritually well. They ought to be the ones in the Church of Christ as the men who are spiritually strong, who are spiritually alive. We could say this is what God requires of the men in the Church of Christ. Be a man spiritually. Be a man from a spiritual point of view. Not a wimp, not a weakling, not sickly spiritually, but let the men of the church be men when it comes to spiritual things. Strong and healthy. They may have a weak body as they get older. But let them have a strong and a healthy soul. Amata tandang laki sa iglesia ay dapat maging maluso at malakas sa espiritual. Specifically, they have to be sound, healthy, strong spiritually in the faith. Sa pananampalataya. Now the faith refers to what? Pananampalataya in Titus 2 verse 2. It refers to sound doctrine, to the truths of the Word of God. All the doctrines and truths of the Bible. So the Word of God is saying here to the men that they are the ones who have to be sound, who have to be healthy, who have to be spiritually strong in the truth of the Word of God. Not children in the faith, but men in the faith. Men who are not weak in their understanding of the truth, but men who are strong, malakas, in their understanding of the truth. Not men who are interested in the milk of the word, gatas non salita non jols, but men who are interested in the meat, carne sa salita non jols. That's who the men must be. Men who are well grounded in the Bible. Men who understand the Word of God and understand it faithfully and properly. And men, therefore, who are not just older and more mature in age, but men who are older and more mature with regard to the truths of the Word of God. Ang mga lalaki ay dapat na hindi matitinag sa mga aral ng Biblia at ng pananampalatayang reformed. That's being a man spiritually. A man as God and as Christ requires the men to be in His church. That involves a number of things. May kalakipitong ilang mga babae. First, it involves this, that the men in the church have a solid knowledge of the faith. It means men have to know the Bible. They need to know that as men who are members of the church, they need to know that as men who are husbands of their wives, they need to know that as men who are fathers in relation to their children, they need to know that as young men who in the future will be called to be fathers and husbands and leaders in the Church of Christ. Men must be well grounded in their knowledge of God's Word. Not knowing God's Word as it's taught in the Bible and mixing it up with errors, but being clear, having a pure and a right knowledge, a correct knowledge of the Scriptures. That's what's required of men. And you men, and I must include myself in that too, we realize that in order to do that, we have to keep reading. And we have to continue studying the Bible. Continuing to grow. The temptation can be that when we become adults, that's a temptation for all of us here, the women as well. And now addressing specifically the men. Temptation is that we become adults and we say, well, now I know it all. I've learned the Bible history. I've learned the basic doctrines of the Word of God. I don't need to learn anymore. I know enough. I'm an adult now. And I don't need to study the Word of God anymore. That's for children. That's for the young people. I'm not in that age group anymore. It should not be that way. We must be men who continue to grow in our knowledge of God's Word by continuing to study, continuing to learn. That's the first thing. And then secondly, it involves this. Men who believe the truth of the Bible. Panan nalixa pananam palateo or katotohanan yaon. Men who are convicted of the truth of the Bible, not just interested in the Bible because it's an interesting book to read and study, but convicted of it, believing it in their hearts, holding for truth all that God has revealed in His Word. Selahat, everything, and believing every word of the Bible, holding it true as true also for yourself, personally, so that what the Bible says, you say, that's true concerning me. I am a sinner. I am in need of the grace of God. I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. The comforts of the gospel are what I need to hear so that I can be assured that my sins are forgiven. The admonitions of God's Word concerning a godly life are admonitions that apply to me and my life as a child of God, believing and taking to heart personally the Word of God. Not just reading the Bible because, well, then I can find out what to teach others. Then I can say, well, this is what so-and-so ought to do. This is what so-and-so ought to do. It's true that men have the calling as husbands and fathers and leaders in the Church of Christ to use God's Word to teach others. But let them first apply it to themselves. And then thirdly, this means that the men have to be firmly committed to the faith. Pagiging matatag na makatalaga sa pananam palataya o katatohana. Holding fast to it, clinging to it, a solid commitment to the truth of the Word of God, faithful to God's Word, not compromising the truth, not easily led astray to believe some other teaching than the teaching of the Word of God, never watering down or diluting the scriptures that the Lord God has given us, but maintaining God's Word at all costs, because it is precious to you, because you love it. You will never let go of the Word of God. That's the calling of those who are men in the Church of Jesus Christ. So we who are men face the question, are we men spiritual? Or are we weaklings spiritual? Are we mature and healthy spiritual? Or are we childish and weak and sickly from a spiritual point of view? Are we men who know the faith well? Or is our knowledge of God's Word very shallow and limited? The Word of God reminds us here this morning that this is what we must be. Men who are sound in the faith. Men who are knowledgeable in it and committed to the truth of the Word of God. And men who stand at the forefront in the spiritual battles that are faced by our families and by the people of God. Men who are strong spiritual leaders to lead and guide our families and the Church of Christ. That's what's required by Christ of the men. That brings us to our second point, how it is shown. The soundness of faith is shown, or the soundness of faith should be evident, should be obvious, in the lives of the men of the church. way to show it is to heed the other commands that are given in the text. Ano ito ay magagawa sa pamamagitan ng pagsunod sa ibang mga utos na binabangit sa teksto. Practical commands concerning how men should live as mature, godly men. First of all, this is required of them. They must be sound in charity. Men who are sound in faith, men who are well grounded in the Word of God, show that, first of all, by being men who love. Men who love their wives, men who love their children, men who love their family, men who love their fellow saints, men who love unbelievers by witnessing to them and calling them to repentance, and above all, men who love God. Men who love the God that has given them the truth. Men who love the God that has given them faith. Men who love the God that has grounded them in the faith of His Word. Men who love the God that has saved them through the Lord Jesus Christ. Men who love. Magaling sa pag-ibig niyo. That's the chief and the main way in which it is shown. But then secondly, they are men called to be men who are sound in patience. Sound in patience. Ito ay ipinakita sa pagiging magaling sa pagtitiis. What is patience? Ano ito? Well, patience is being steadfast, being constant, not swerved, not changing, but being steadfast in the faith. Someone who is patient is someone who is who has staying power. Often is used in the Bible and occurs in the Bible in relation to two things. One, to trials or to afflictions that we experience. God's people called to be patient in affliction. And that's what men are called to be. Sa mga pagsubok, enduring hardships, preserving or persevering as they face suffering in this earthly life. Showing spiritual maturity by not becoming bitter or irritable or angry because things are not going their way. They are steadfast. Their emotions don't quickly jump this way and that way and they become upset and angry, but they are steadfast. They show that they are able, by the grace of God, to bear the sufferings and the trials of earthly life. In spite of the sufferings, they remain spiritually strong. In spite of the suffering and afflictions that come upon them, they maintain and show their trust is in God, sa Dios. But then men are also called to be patient when they are persecuted for their faith. Kapag nahaharap sa pag-uhusig. If you are sound in the faith as a man, if you are one who does not waver, does not change from your firm conviction in the truth of the Word of God, you are going to be mocked. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be made fun of because you confess unashamedly the truth of the Word of God. That's true for every believer, as the Apostle Paul mentions in Timothy, that they who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. One who is patient endures that. remains steadfast in spite of it, does not get angry, and does not give up on his faith, does not say, well, that's it, I'm done with believing those truths of the Word of God because I'm getting ridiculed because of it. No, he clings to the truth. He clings to Christ, who is the truth, regardless of the consequences. Because the truth means everything to him. The truth is his salvation. The truth sets him free. The truth means he has Christ. He will never let go of that, not even if it means persecution. And then thirdly, the godly man who is called to be sound in the faith shows that, gives evidence of that by being sober and grave and temperate. Mapagpigil at Mahusay at Mahinahon. Sober, grave, and temperate. Now these three are closely related to each other. First of all, grave, Mahusay. Does not mean that a man is long-faced, that he never laughs, that he never has a sense of humor. Does not mean that. But it refers to the fact that he is an honorable person, a respectable person, one who is able to be respected, one who can earn the respect of others because he is upright, he is godly, he is mature, he is living as a Christian should live. He's respected. He has gotten rid of the sins of youth. He has grown up. He is mature. And he is one who is easy, you could say, for the younger members of the church to honor and to respect. But then he must also be temperate. Mahinahon. That means controlling yourself. We'll come across that word again in Titus chapter 2. Others in the church are called to be temperate, to control themselves. Really, every Christian is. But here, the man is told to control himself. He is to control, and that's the reference, of course, he is to control his sinful desires and impulses. He is to control his sinful lusts. Men face the temptations of the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eye, the things that they see, the women that they see, and then they have lustful thoughts that arise in their minds and in their hearts. The child of God is to control them, to stamp them out of his life, to put them down. Must control his sinful passions and desires. He must also control himself by controlling his temper. Sometimes men are tempted to use their temper to throw their weight around, to frighten their wives and children into submission. They may not do that. They have to control their temper, their anger. Then they must be sober. Hapagpigil. That is self-control with regard to alcohol. Men have to abstain from too much alcohol. That's a warning that becomes very necessary in our day because alcohol is very much a part of the life of the ungodly. Already from youth, the ungodly are giving themselves over to the use of alcohol. And it's not the use that is sin, but it's the abuse that is sin. And that's what happens. The ungodly abuse alcohol. And what do they say? We cannot have fun without it. We have to have alcohol in order to have fun. And they cannot go a day without an alcoholic drink. That's how the world views, and that's how the world uses gumamit, alcohol. And that's a temptation for the Christian man. It is. It's a temptation for the godly man to make alcohol a part of his everyday life and to think, well, I'm older now, I'm no longer a youth, I can afford alcohol now, I never used to be able to afford it, I can legally drink now. When I was younger, I was not legally able to drink alcohol. I'm mature now. I can and I will control my use of alcohol. And then men abuse it. They give themselves over to the use of alcohol. And they use it much more than they ought. The older believers are told here that they ought to be done with that. The scripture in 2 Timothy 2 verse 22 speaks of the sins of youth. Those who are mature, those who have grown up in the faith, ought to be done with the sins of youth. They ought to turn away from that sin. Alcohol is not given by God to be abused by us. Alcohol is not given by God to be turned to in order to deal with the stresses of earthly life. It is a sin, and it is a sin to be addicted. It is a sin to be drunken and thus to lose control of yourself. We must, as men, be characterized by self-control of our lusts, our passions, our desires, and also specifically of our use of alcohol. That's the word of God. That's how you show that you are a man spiritually. That's how you show that you are mature in the faith and healthy and strong in the faith. That's the evidence in the life of the godly man, of his soundness in the faith. And then finally we ask, why is this necessary? Well, first of all, it's necessary because this is what befits, this is what becomes, this is what harmonizes with sound doctrine. Ito a kinakailanan unasalahat dahil ito a nagi a nananatili sa araw na magaling. And that's because the life that fits sound doctrine is a life of thankfulness. Mapagpasalamat na pagsunod sa Diyos. You have heard and you have received and you know the gospel of God's grace toward you, the gospel of a sovereign God who is sovereign in salvation and who is sovereign in all things for the good of his people. You've heard that gospel and you have believed that gospel because God has given you faith to believe it. And then you can say the God who is sovereign is the God who has saved me, and he loves me, an unworthy sinner, and his favor is upon me, an unworthy, wretched evildoer. That understanding, that conviction motivates the child of God to be thankful. He cannot help but be thankful. And then thankful child of God, as we said earlier, is obedient. He seeks to please his good Father in heaven. Then secondly, this is required because there is a specific doctrine that stands behind all of the commands that are given here, and that is regeneration. Hatnam uto sa texto e nananatili sa at sumusunod sa araw ng pagpapanibagong buhay. Generation means that you are born again.
If you are born again, you have a new life. You are a new creature in Christ. You are free from the power and free from the control of sin in your life. And then the question is, well, what follows from that? Well, what follows from that? That's the doctrine of God's sovereign work of giving me a new heart, a new life, causing me to be born again. The practical life that follows from that is godliness. Living the life that God has put inside me. Living the new life that I have. Not having that new life inside me and still living the old life of sin and the flesh. That Christ, having transformed me, changed me by His sovereign grace, I, as a thankful child of God, say, well, then I'm going to live that new life. I'm going to be what Christ has made me to be. I'm going to be what I am by the grace of God. You see, that living in this way follows from the truth of our salvation through regeneration. And then we can also say this, that the specific commands of the text become or befit or match with or harmonize with specific doctrines. We could take the time to see how each command ties to a specific doctrine, but let me just give one example. Man is called to be sound in love. Love that befits sound doctrine. What is the doctrine that is behind that admonition? It is this: the love of God. The doctrine of the love of God is the doctrine that God's love is a gracious love. God's love is a giving love. God's love is a selfless love. God's love is a sacrificial love. God's love is a love that seeks the eternal welfare of those who are the objects of God's love. Well, the godly man who is the object of that love of God reflects God's love in his love. And so his love for his wife and his love for his children, his love for his family, his love for his fellow believers, his love for the Church of Christ is the same as God's love. A giving love, a gracious love, a selfless love, a sacrificial love, a love that seeks the eternal welfare of those whom He loves. The doctrine of God's love forms the basis for the love that is shown by the child of God, the man in the Church. And we could also use as a second example the command that a man should have self-control with regards to alcohol. If he does not have self-control with regards to alcohol, he makes alcohol a god. And the doctrine that he transgresses then is the first commandment, where God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me, because I am the only God. And I alone ought to be worshipped and served and turned to and trusted in your life." So the doctrine of God being the only God forms the basis for the admonition to the men to control themselves with regards to alcohol. But then finally, it is necessary that we live, that the men in the church live this way, because you men have an important place in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's point 3b. Kinakai langan sa matatandang lalaki na mamuhay sa ganitong karaan dahil sa mahalagang lugar na mayroon sila sa kaharian at sa iglesia ni Yesu Kristo. Often the attitude might be that as I get older, I'm not that important anymore. And maybe there's a fault that lies amongst the members of the church sometimes, perhaps the youth especially, that they look at the older members of the church and they say, well, they're so out of touch. Out of touch with the times in which we live. Out of touch with reality. They're really not that important. The fact is, those who are older have something to contribute to the church that no one else can contribute. Experience. Years and years of experience. Experiences of life that God has given them that has been used by God to produce wisdom in them. And wisdom that they have the opportunity to impart to the younger members of the Church of Christ. God, through the experiences of life, has matured them spiritually and given them that wisdom. And the older members in the church, and now specifically those who are men, older than anyone else in the church, older young adults, older men in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and all the way up to 70s and 80s, those men have the opportunity to impart these things to those who are younger than they are. They are best qualified because of all that God has taught them through life to show others what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be strong in the faith, what it means to be sober and patient and loving, what it means to live a godly life. The church needs those kinds of men for her present welfare and for her future welfare. As husbands and fathers who lead and guide their wives and children, as men in the church who are involved in making good, wise decisions for the welfare of the Church of Christ, and also as office bearers in the church who lead the congregation. So that's the calling of the aged men in the church. By the grace of God, men, may we be faithful out of gratitude to Christ for what He has done for us, for what He has made us to be, and for the place that He has given us in the church and in our families. A special place, a unique calling for the older men in the Church of Christ. And may God use that to bless the church and to bless your families. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, our God in heaven, bless us through thy word in this day. Write it upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit and cause us to live according to it in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now in our worship, let's worship our Lord God by giving up our offerings for the support of Christ's kingdom. Out of thankfulness, we give our gifts.